How's it going, B-Mills? We're back for a bonus episode.
I think this is called an emergency episode.
I saw somebody comment that emergency episode. I'm not sure it's like emergency because I think this thing has been done and done. I think it's basically waiting on the Governor Cox's desk to be signed. And my understanding is that he'll probably sign it, but hopefully we can shed some light on it, give people a little bit of an understanding of what it is, maybe hash out some of the whys, kind of speculate. And then I guess at the end of it, although it looks like it's going to pass, I would still encourage people to voice your opinion. So I would send your emails to Governor Cox, send them to your state legislators and express your opinions on what you think.
Exactly. It's always good, just like everything in this world, to reach out to your representatives and talk to them and yep. voice your opinion. Whether you're a resident, I've seen a lot of residents who also hate this too, which is kind of cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Residents reach out, non-residents reach out.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Yep. So for those of you that may not know what we're talking about, I've had ample DMs and emails in the last 2 days about this, but we're basically going to run through and hash out Utah's Senate Bill 8, which is the actual name of the bill, which is interesting, is the State Agency Fees and Internal Authorization and Appropriation. So it's basically a budgeting bill for the state of Utah. And encased in this bill, which is, I think, 263 pages, I want to say. I think this portion of it that we're going to hash out was on page 128. I looked through the bill. I spent a bunch of time, probably 2 hours this morning, looking through the bill. And there's not really any explanation whatsoever. It's just a bunch of line items with budget numbers attached to them.
Yeah, the crazy thing is it's 8,930 lines.
Right.
To put that in perspective.
And this portion of it is just buried in the middle of it, essentially. Mm-hmm. So basically, we've had a lot of people reach out. This has kind of been the rage on the social media the last few days with good reason. So basically what they're doing, the portion that we're going to talk about today, is an increased fee on hunting licenses, on permits across the board, and real specifically to non-residents, because non-residents are really, really taking it in the shorts on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's rough. So your two representatives on this were Scott Sandel, he's the executive appropriations vice chair, Republican District 1. He's out of Box Elder, Cache, Tooele. I took a little minute and just jumped into his profile and looked at it. It looks like he comes from a ranching and farming background, which I think is interesting because I don't think that this bill or this portion of the bill is necessarily kind at all to middle America. You know, people that are working class folks that would like to go hunting in the state of Utah, I think it's a major detriment to them. And we can dive into that here in a sec. The other representative is Walt Brooks, who's the executive appropriations vice chair. He's from St. George, I believe. It lists his profession as business owner. But I thought I would include that. So if you got complaints, I would encourage you reach out to those folks as well as anybody else within state legislature and even the governor, and let them kind of know what you feel. So how do you want to attack this? Should we just run through basically the expenses and what's being signed into law?
Yeah, I think we could do that, but maybe first I might touch on some of these things when this bill was introduced, because the timeline of these things is always pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things too that, you know, we always try to stay on top of things, but obviously we just found out about it this weekend as well. It's like everyone else has seemed like on the whole hunting community thing. So the bill was numbered, and then Senate actually received this bill on January 24th, 2025. And then here's how quickly this kind of moved along. March 4th, it passed the Senate, passed the second and third readings, a vote of 20-0-5. And then on March 5th, 2025, it passed the House, passed the third reading, with a vote 72-0-3. Mm-hmm. And then now it's waiting as of 3/17. I think the last time I refreshed it, anything new since then, but 317, it's now sent to the governor for, like you said, for a signature on it, which most likely it'll pass.
Gotcha.
Like you said.
Yep. Let's dive into expenses, and then we'll kind of talk a little bit about what it might mean for hunting, what it might mean for non-residents, conservation, like wildlife issues as a whole. I reached out to, I used to work for the division, as many of you know, I reached out to division employees at various levels, kind of get their idea, try to get an understanding of the reasoning behind it, like where it came from, if it was a division ask, and I can kind of give you guys an idea of what I've learned and what I believe, but we'll maybe hit that after. So let's dive into the actual costs, right? So non-resident hunting license cost was just raised in 2019, I believe. So just not that long ago, a couple years ago, that went from $70 to $120 for a non-resident, which was a decent increase. I would say $120 for a hunting license in the state of Utah was still a decent deal, in my opinion, based on the fact that some of the other states, like in Arizona or in Nevada or even Colorado, I guess at this point, was kind of in that ballpark. You know, you've got, I used to think Idaho's was expensive at $185, I believe, for a non-resident hunting license in the state, which you had to buy in order to either buy an over-the-counter tag or apply for a controlled hunt in the state of Idaho. But this new jump essentially doubled it, right? So it went from $120 as a non-resident to $240 as a non-resident, which, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you see a lot of people are talking about right now trying to jump in and buy a 5-year hunting license, try to get their locked in price of right now rather than the increased price?
Sure. Yeah, which is smart. I get it. I think that's what, $800 or something like that if you buy the 5-year deal, which is still expensive. I just for curiosity's sake, I ran down through and looked at the youth price potential increase because I've got 3 kids and I apply them in other states as well. I'm a resident of the state of Utah, but if you're a non-resident, non-resident youth hunting license cost would be $68, which is, it's not cheap.
No, that's not, especially when you're trying to do your whole entire family.
Yeah, I actually added it up just for fun. So if my 3 boys, I've got 3 boys, if I bought a hunting license as a non-resident and I applied them for deer, elk, and antelope in the state of Utah, it would be right around $500 just to apply for my 3 kids.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Yeah. Also notable, application fee going from $16 per species for non-resident to $32. So that doubled. General season deer license, $418 to $836 for a general season deer tag. Dedicated hunter deer. So those folks that wanted to maybe get involved in dedicated hunter, that went from $1,067 to $2,134.
That one right there. Ouch.
Plus your hours. So you've got to do 32 service hours, which you'd have to travel to the state of Utah to complete, or you could buy those out at a rate of $40 per hour, which would be on top
of that. That just saw an increase, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. That went from 20 to 40. Yep.
Yep.
Limited entry deer, $670 to a price of $1,340. Deer, multi-season limited entry, $1,130 to $2,260 from multi-season deer tag. Premium limited entry deer, which if you don't know what we're talking about those few units that they manage for a premium quality hunt. The Ponsagant, the Henrys, for example, that would go to $1,596 from a price tag currently of $798. Let's jump down and look at, go ahead.
Archery elk.
Yeah. Archery elk. So archery, general season archery elk, meaning folks that want to buy a general season archery elk tag, which would go on sale in July. We should state if this, which it looks like it will be signed, it will take effect, in July. meaning it's not going to impact the draws, which are coming up in the state of Utah. So that won't change currently. Antlerless draw, you'd also still be under the same price. But once you go to those OTC licenses, which go on sale in July, you would be looking at that increased new cost, essentially. So general season, archery elk, meaning that you can hunt the spike units or you can hunt the any bull units. You're taking that from a cost of $613 to $1,226. That also goes for general season elk with a rifle. So if you wanted to buy a general season spike tag in the state of Utah, you're talking $1,226, so $1,226, which is crazy in my opinion.
I know a lot of people that instantly right now, they've texted me and said they're out for the Utah spike hunt now because of that price increase.
Oh, for sure.
As a non-resident, they used to do it all the time because it's a fun hunt. You can do it with your friends, whatever, family, take it up there. It's a good time to get out.
For sure.
They're done.
Yeah. Elk limited entry bull going from a cost of $1,050 to $2,100. I'll jump down to some of the once in a lifetime species. Oh, actually, here's an interesting one. Elk, antlerless elk. So if this maintains and goes into the next year, antlerless elk going from a cost of $350 to $700 for a cow elk tag. Your once in a lifetime species, desert bighorn sheep, Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, bison. You're talking $4,488. Bison's is a little bit more, $4,840. So an extra $400 tacked on that one. Mountain goat, $4,488. You're essentially talking, I mean, if you apply for those species and you are actually successful in drawing one of those, you're going to be pushing $5,000.
Mm-hmm. And what's crazy to me still is obviously it's once in a lifetime, you know, Wyoming's really expensive, you know, for a couple of those species. But like when you start dipping into, I'm just picking on bull moose here, $4,488. You look at the cost to go to, let's say, Alaska to go moose hunting, do it yourself. Like you can obviously, you know, all those app fees, all the years you potentially might never, ever draw this moose tag. Most likely you will not.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, and it's not going to be that expensive where you could go right now to Alaska and go moose hunting for almost that price right there.
Yeah, in reality, you could. I mean,
it's like people are trying to wait on a hope, all those app fees, the hunting license fees. Yeah, hopefully you're applying for other things in Utah as well, which most people probably do. But that $4,488, if you ever did draw one, sure, you might need a, you know, you might want a Shiras, but you sure can go up to Alaska and have probably a potential way better hunt.
I mean, let's look at the draw odds for a non-resident for a moose tag in the state of Utah. So I'm going to scroll over to the only unit that offered a bonus point permit last year for non-residents would have been the cash. We're projecting 50% odds with 27 points. What do you think the odds are at 26 points?
Let's go big fat, not going to draw ever.
0.26. 0.13%, so less than a percent, less than a half a percent. And you can run that down through all the moose hunts that are available to non-residents that they could apply for through the entire point range, all the way from 0 up to 32. You're looking at less than half a percent odds through the entire point range. So you're not gonna draw that. And then if you can financially justify applying, you're going to be into it $5,000.
Yeah. And that's maybe we can get to it now, but that's where I kind of want to take it to is what point level are going to literally bounce out of Utah and say it's not worth it financially anymore, because obviously the odds of drawing are slim. Even before their odds of drawing were slim, but now you have increased tag fees, increased app fees. You said you're trying to apply for your youth and there as well. They're going to, you know, gets expensive fast. And like, is that worth it to someone to apply for 20 some plus years? Never going to guarantee you're going to get it. And then all those app fees, and then you have that tag fee on top of it, I think.
So you're a non-resident of the state of Utah. Yeah. You've been applying in Utah. Where are you at?
I'm close to 20 points.
Okay. Where are you at?
I'm kind of screwed. I have invested so much time and money into it already that I think I have to continue the course.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of high point holders might continue. I think this is really going to hurt, though, the new hunters coming in who have dreamt about hunting Utah. But, you know, everyone sees all the big deer, big elk, everything in the state. I think that's where you're going to see the biggest decline is new applicants, low point holders, maybe people under 10 points. They might say, oh, it's not worth for me to do this. Or maybe I'll just pick one species and not do everything anymore because that app fee is so expensive, and start dropping off on other things. Which that's what's that going to be? State loss revenue. But obviously, if they're going to increase these fees 100%, it's probably calculated in that fact that they're going to have people dropping off and the state's still going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a scary thing to think about, like youth and new hunter retention on a state like Utah.
I mean,
I have to continue, I think, because I have, you know, that's 20, almost 20 some years of applying for everything.
So, I mean, I just took a peek and typically your archery odds, I looked at elk elk is kind of it has become, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, we're known for big bulls in the state of Utah. We manage for a quality experience. I just took a quick look. So 15 points archery is typically easier to draw for the most part. Than your rifle hunts, for example, if you're looking at like early rifle or late rifle or even the new mid rifles. So even at 15 points, you know, most the best odds for some of these units are maybe 5%, 5.3. It looks like there might be one hunt that is within your realm. It's kind of right at that cutoff around 14, 15 points for a non-resident, which would be the Wasatch. But that's 15 years. Like that's 15 years of applying. So my opinion, and if you're at the 15 point level, maybe. But if you're below that, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was already
slim, and all those app fees adding on top of that. Like, yeah, do you continue?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in reality, if you're like 5 points, like if you're relatively new to it, 5 points, your chances of drawing are pretty slim. As is, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, we do a lot of this. I do a lot of consultation, not formally, but you know, people will DM me. I would say currently it would be really hard for me to tell people to continue to apply. It's like, I constantly say it. It's this exercise of value and economics, right? So what can you afford versus the potential kickback in opportunity? And I don't know that the opportunity is equal to the financial cost that it's going to be to eventually draw a tag. Which sucks. I mean, let me go back real quick. I wanted to ask you, or just have you take a look. So I know that we've had some states that have been increasing costs, and we've been complaining a little bit. I have about Wyoming, right? Yeah. So I went back and I looked at the cost of Wyoming. So Wyoming regular elk, $707, special elk, $1,965, which is expensive. I totally get that. You dive into some of the other species, sheep, 3,017, mountain goat moose, 2,767, a bison permit in the state of Wyoming, bull bison, 6,017, I believe is where that one lands. Those price increases essentially priced me out as a non-resident. I don't apply for them. I don't apply for sheep, mountain goat, and I don't even have to buy a hunting license there. All I have to do is front the cost of the license until I'm unsuccessful in the draw. But I can't afford to, you know, float the cost, but it's kind of priced me out. But the one thing that I will say about Wyoming is at least you always have the opportunity. You have the choice, right? You can choose to apply in the regular draw, or you could try to apply in the special draw if you want to pay that extra cost. But at least as like a, you know, kind of middle class, lower middle class, at least I still have the option. You know what I mean? Like I can still apply and hope that luck shines on me.
Yeah.
Whereas Utah's taking it off the table.
Yeah. It's taking it right off. But even though Wyoming like made that draw change where it makes it like, I just still never have a chance to draw one of those moose, sheep or goat tags.
Sure.
So why would I apply?
Yeah.
It's literally not financially smart for me to apply. So I got out of those species as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't apply for them anymore. I would love to hunt those animals in Wyoming. It'd be phenomenal, but I just thought of me drawing. It's not cost effective.
Yeah.
Effective thing.
I took a look and I peeked at some of the other states. So Arizona elk, $650 for non-resident, deer, $300, a sheep tag in Arizona, $1,800, antelope, $550. Colorado, Colorado did a slight price increase this last year. Elk in Colorado, you're $825. Deer, $494. Sheep, moose, goat in Colorado, you're $2,758. Again, much less than the state of Utah. Nevada gets touted quite a bit because you have to buy a $155 hunting license to apply, but you know, an elk tag there, $1,200. I used to think that was expensive until Utah said, you know, hold my white monster and watch, you know.
It's so funny you said the hold your white monster thing. That was the exact thing I was going to say earlier. It's like, oh, I can't say hold my beer.
Yeah, you can't say hold my beer, but you can say hold my white monster, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like even Montana back in the day when they did a little fee increase, and they've always been kind of expensive too. It was like, okay, non-resident deer tag, you know, $724, non-resident, you know, elk, $1,048, big game combo, $1,242. I was like, those seemed really expensive to me and outrageous. So I was like, for the quality of the hunt, for the experience that you're getting out of that, that seemed outrageous. And now it's like, okay, that's actually
going
to be one of the cheaper states now, which is crazy to think. Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that you're talking about a bargain deer tag being $724 in a state like Montana. But
yeah,
still is a lot of states that are underneath that. But like, is that going to become the norm? Like, I worry about right now that, you know, Utah doing this, other states are going to see that and be like, oh, we can do it too.
For sure.
You know, and then everyone just starts increasing their things. Or is it just like a thing where all this, you know, I saw some comments people were making, like, did all the states get together? I don't know who made this comment, but so I feel apologize for it because it's not my idea, but did all the states come together and say, hey, we're going to fix point creep right now by making it so stupid expensive that you can only apply in one out of state hunt a year because it's so expensive that no one's going to apply anywhere else anymore, because by stuff we're going to fix point creep by pricing everyone out.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a good point to talk about why. And I don't know that either of us have any concrete answers. I think we have speculation, right? You just brought one point up. Is this collectively, you know, Western states saying, oh, we have a supply demand problem here. How can we alleviate that? Well, let's price people out essentially and make people pick and, you know, really pick and choose. Let's make people really only pick their home state and apply in their home state. It also could be just internally that the state of Utah looked at it and they thought, you know, how can we alleviate this supply demand issue? Well, if we price non-residents out, we're going to decrease the number of people that apply. Inevitably there will be people that will apply. I don't think that they're not going to not allocate their permits. I think they still will allocate their permits because there's enough people with deep enough pockets that they can afford to apply and then pay for the tag when they draw it. Inevitably your odds, my perception is that odds will get better because you are going to have a tremendous amount of people that are going to dip out of the system.
Mm-hmm. But then too, is it just becoming a rich man sport?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't.
Like, people will always have the pockets. Like, there's always people in this world, whether it's here, other countries who apply, you know, in the Western states. There'll always be those people who have the money to apply. But I worry about those people who are, like, you know, from the Midwest, from the East Coast, who want an experience and want to come out west, whether it's Utah, whether it's whatever state, and they just can't afford it anymore because it is expensive. Like, yeah, we're fortunate that we are a resident of one of these Western states. So it's like, yeah, we could apply in our resident state and, you know, potentially could be okay. Most states that you and I both live in don't have great, you know, resident opportunities, but, you know, it's like, is everyone going to have to just move out west to hunt, which is also going to screw things up. That's what, you know, Idaho, Montana, all those other states are kind of experiencing that right now, where the resident influx is so great that's also becoming an issue. Like, they're going to have to change their resident opportunities. Like,
yeah.
It's a scary slope we're all facing right now in this, and this price increase is a slap in the face, but
yeah. The other why, I mean, it makes you wonder, it just makes you wonder what the ulterior motives are, right? Is this a play to, you know, reduce interest in hunting, reduce interest in the outdoors, reduce participation so that, you know, there's less people that actually care and give a rip about public land access and wildlife as a whole. I mean, Utah's been kind of at the top of the list of land grabs. You know, they want to develop, they want to, you know, build houses. They wanted to turn over federal land to state ownership. They sued the federal government. You know, if they do decrease the number of people that are interested in participating in hunting, it's maybe an easier case for them to make. Say, hey, look, there's less people that care. That one seems like a stretch.
So basically what you're saying is this is the push from internally in Utah, a bunch of anti-hunters in a sense.
Could be.
They're like, hey, we're gonna make this so unobtainable for people to go hunting that they're going to lose care of this. And then we're eventually going to strip hunting rights slowly from people this way. We can't obviously control everything else, but we can slowly get rid of this that people don't want to apply anymore. And then we can, you know, start, you know, death of a thousand cuts, are slowly cutting hunting opportunity away. All of a sudden, no one cares about public land, like you're saying. So we can snag public land. We can, you know, start, you know, getting rid of tags and all this stuff. And eventually there won't be hunting in some of these places.
Could be. And I don't know that it's anti-hunting. Maybe it's just more quote unquote business. Maybe it's money. I think it's money. I mean, money, land, ownership. You know, it could be an alternative motive. And that's the hard part about this is there's really no language in the bill that addresses it. There's no like, hey, this is why we're doing this, right?
Yeah. The only decent thing I saw, and again, I'm confused. I wish I had a law degree. For the amount, I mentioned in our internal Slack channel, for the amount of times I've actually sat and looked at bills over, you know, the last whatever 12 years since I've been, you know, here at Go Hunt, it's like, I don't have a great understanding of how these things are worded, but the one thing I saw in here that was interesting, which maybe I don't want to jump ahead or we can get to this again, but it says here on line 4322, so basically right when this starts, non-resident, then it goes parentheses, all non-resident fees for the Division of Wildlife Resources may not exceed, but may be less than the amount stated in the division's fee schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So does that open it up potentially for this is the maximum?
They could go
up to this max. And so like, we're all just sitting here, you know, obviously it's still alarming, but it's like, they might not go up to
a
100% increase, but they could go somewhat into here.
Yeah. And that's
how I'm reading that.
That's how I'm reading it. That's my understanding that it's not to exceed, but it could be up to depending on the schedule. It's probably a good time to like address or at least talk about. So I reached out some people within the DWR and just kind of asked them like, hey, what's going on? What's the background of this? I'm being told that this was not a request of the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. It was not a request. There was no request internally from the DWR to increase prices or fees. I was also told that the normal fee increase process, they have a process with the DWR, and typically what they do is they take that through a public review. They then find a sponsor to put a bill together, and then they'll run that through the state legislator. I'm told that that did not happen. I'm told that this came from the state legislature on its own accord. I heard that it popped up relatively recent in kind of the last few days of the session. And I'm essentially being told that the division was really happy, pretty happy with where their fees were currently. And I don't think that a lot of division employees are super pumped about it. I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating. I just think to me, this is like one of those issues where it feels like it came kind of from out of nowhere. Through state government, I feel like maybe the people that voted on it, the people that put the bill together, probably maybe don't understand the complete demographic of what this, you know, who they're catering to or what the fallout of something like this might be or could be to people. It feels to me like it's just not well thought out, in my opinion.
And the thing that I'm scared of always too, is like, I don't understand all these, like, you know, bill riders and all that stuff. The things get just thrown in there. Like, this is a giant document, as we explained. It's huge. It's all about everything in the state. And wildlife to a lot of people in Utah who might not know anything is just a small, tiny, tiny little portion. And so people like gloss over the wildlife section of this, like, oh yeah, well, I want to pass all this other stuff about roads and, you know, transportation and all these other things that are actually wrapped up in this bill. So the wildlife portion is just a tiny, tiny little bit, but it's going to pass because all these other things people agree with.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's already been unanimously passing the House and the Senate already.
Yeah.
So it's going to get signed by the governor most likely.
But yeah. It's buried in a huge bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I hate about this is that, man, it goes back to just like the current climate and the way that these things are going. It feels like all these wildlife hunting related issues are just being filtering through bills. I think it's
going around the due process.
Yeah. I just think it sets such a crappy precedence. I mean, for hunting, for conservation as a whole, I just, all this kind of stuff just being like kind of snaked through, you know, just like, oh, let's have the, you know, the public at large vote on it, or let's not even do that. Let's just run it through a bill and we'll run it through just the state legislature and we'll basically blindside people, which I hate. It just, it's hard to stomach. Not a fan.
And the thing too, that's also hard to stomach is just like, I mean, we talk about a little bit, a lot of time, the non-residents getting the shaft.
Sure.
And I fully get all the time. We talk about a lot that, you know, non-residents should, they deserve to be, you know, treated better than a non-resident in a sense, because they live there. They live there all year, you know, but like these non-resident fees just keep, is outrageous.
To me, it's, I mean, this one is particularly egregious in my opinion, because it's not like the permit split is different. It's still going to be a 90-10 split, right? Which is pretty rough as it is on non-residents. It's just digging, in my opinion, and you're essentially gouging, like you're gouging people at this point. And the thing that really bugs me is I feel like it's just like an unfair burden on working class people, people that want to hunt, you know, people that want to get out, find an opportunity, whether it's in a neighboring state, or even if it's people that just like have the hope of like coming to Utah and hunting a bugling bull elk, it essentially like takes it off the table for a lot of folks. And I don't like what it's doing to hunting as a tradition, like hunting as a whole. I just don't think it's, I think it's bad. I think you're kind of removing the dream. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up too is I constantly am seeing, because obviously I have to read all the comments on Go Hunt and all the videos we do, all the comments we get everywhere. And there is an increase across the West in resident versus non-resident hate.
For sure.
And a lot of these things, when they come up, there's a lot of residents that, good, let's outprice the non-residents so they never come here. Like, I literally have a folder full of screenshots of comments from residents, like on some of our, you know, Idaho articles, for example. If you want to get a good laugh, go through the Idaho OTC general season tag sale that usually happens in that, you know, December time frame. Go read that article once. Read some of the comments down below there about how many residents hate non-residents coming to Idaho and hope you never come there and hope they have a horrible time and hope they outprice all those people. Like, yeah. That's the scary thing that's going on. I'm not saying this has happened right now, because I've seen a lot of comments from Utah residents that also don't agree with this, but like the more that happens all the time, the more these residents start getting in the ear of people in these certain states, like, hey, like I'm having a horrible time when I'm hunting. All I see is non-residents everywhere, even though the tag quotas are the way they are in a lot of states where they're already set aside. There's already very few non-residents hunting there. It just adds to the ease of these states wanting to, hey, let's just keep, you know, giving the shaft to non-residents. It's really easy to, because they will continue to pay, which could also be a problem, that non-residents are still willing to do whatever they want to do because hunting is their life. But
yeah,
the hate towards resident, non-resident thing needs to stop, because it just leads to stuff like this.
Well, and the funny thing is like, I don't know of, in my opinion, I don't know of a more passionate group of people that love to hunt out of state than Utahns. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opportunity for a resident, and I've talked about it. So, I mean, I drew an elk tag a couple of years ago. I'm on a waiting period for elk. I drew an antelope tag last year. I'm on a waiting period for antelope. I participated in the dedicated hunter program. I killed 2 deer in 3 years, so I can't apply this next year for deer, and I don't have a deer tag to hunt. My only options as a resident of the state of Utah to apply for are once in a lifetime species. I apply for bison, which I won't draw. My odds are extremely long, and limited entry deer. Again, I very unlikely to draw. So in reality, my opportunity to draw a tag in my home state of Utah is pretty slim, right? Like, I just don't have many good options for a number of years. It might be, in reality, it might be 4 or 5 years before I can actually draw a general season deer tag in my home state of Utah. Mm-hmm. So really, my only option is to apply out of state. And a lot of Utahns are in the same board. I mean, I already brought it up, but I've got 3 kids. You know, my youngest being 12, this will be his first year being able to apply and hunt. He probably will not draw a deer tag, even though they allocate a portion of permits to youth, he probably won't draw. Mm-hmm. It'll probably take him a few years. So if you're a Utah resident and you want to get your kids involved or you want to hunt consistently, you basically have to apply out of state, right? And now, mm-hmm. in my opinion, what Utah's done is basically said, you know what, screw you non-residents, but what do you think other states are going to do?
They're going to do the same thing. And what I've seen too, people commenting about, which is kind of a crazy idea. It's like, okay, so Utah's going to screw over non-residents on this, you know, potentially. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, if these Utah residents want to draw an out-of-state tag, they're going to have to pay, they should pay more on top of their state fee to offset what that cost would be, what they charge non-residents. So if you charge, you know, $4,500 for a sheep tag and you drew a sheep tag somewhere else and your sheep tag in that state's only $1,200, you pay on top of that to cover what you would pay for a non-resident coming to your state as like a different way to,
yeah,
every state screwing each other over, every residency screwing each other over, because like, hey, we shouldn't give you the middle finger here on this. And you want to charge us? Well, now if you're going to go hunt in our state, you have to pay those fees on top of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a crazy thought.
It's like becoming an arms race essentially in cost.
Yeah.
And I don't see, I mean, here's the thing. If this passes in Utah, which it looks like it will, and they maintain it and they still allocate the permits, and I don't see, there's no reason why other states won't look at it. I mean, I think Wyoming kind of, I like to blame Wyoming, I guess, but I think they made us, you know, kind of started a little bit, jumping up to $2,100 for a special elk tag, which I understand the reasoning behind it, but yeah, you basically set a precedence for the states. Like, hey, this is what people are, you know, certainly fewer people are willing to pay it. Fewer people can actually afford it, but you know, we'll still allocate our tags. You know, the increased cost will offset the number of people that we're applying. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, with people, but basically what you've done is you removed it from just like people, everyday working people. People can't afford, I can't afford it.
No,
I really can't. I mean, I've bailed on states and species because I can't afford the permit. I mean, you know, would I love to hunt sheep? I would love to hunt sheep in New Mexico, but I can't afford to front the cost of that license. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I don't apply to any of those species there either because of this cost.
Yeah. Even though I'm gonna
outprice me.
Yeah. Even though I'm going to be refunded if I don't draw, it's just like, man, that is a giant chunk of money to float on a credit card, which people could say what they want, but for me, it's just like a financial decision. I got three kids. I just can't really afford to float it. You know, I tried to alleviate a bunch of credit card debt. I don't even have credit cards. I got rid of them because I just didn't want to build up, you know, money and interest fees on them. So I just got rid of them. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. And I mean, if you don't live in the West, if you're from, like you said, the Midwest, it's even tougher.
And look at those people too. Like if they want to try to draw a tag eventually in their life, they have to get in it early. What happens when you try to get in it early? Well, you're 18, 19 years old, maybe you're 23, 24, you're just starting a family, have a couple kids. Mm-hmm. You don't have potentially a lot of money saved up yet at that age to start trying to throw your fingers in every single Western state to apply for all these things and increase all those app fees. And then you talk about increasing the hunting license, increasing the app fee for all these things. Like you like literally have to pick and choose one or two states now because of, you know, what, like you said, Utah, Wyoming, other states are going to follow and increase that fee. And it's literally pricing out the young people from wanting to build a multi-state app strategy, even though it's not going to try to draw, you know, four tags a year. They're going to try to set themselves up in the future. So like, oh yeah, in 15 years, maybe I'll draw Utah. But if it's going to cost me X right now, I'm just starting a family, I can't afford to do that every single year.
You don't have $300 or $400 worth of disposable income to throw at one state every single year for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I worry about in regards to this is, like, I worry that with more people bowing out, and inevitably they will, like I've had enough DMs, I've seen enough comments on articles and social media. I know that people are definitely going to dip out. Like, they just can't justify it. Right. I think with that, I think you have people that quit caring, like they quit caring about some individual state and species and what's going on in that state. So that when you have issues that do pop up in any individual state, I don't think they have any incentive to jump in and offer their opinion or offer help. You know, that's literally
what we were talking about yesterday in a Slack thing. That's what drives me crazy is I see that all the time. See, I saw that with, like I said, this goes back to the resident, non-resident hate thing. But like when we did some, you know, Alaska articles and gear lists and stuff like that, so many Alaska residents are like, oh, I hope you have a horrible time coming up here, and hope you never get a moose. You never come up here. Don't come up here. We don't want you up here. And I started voicing back, like, what happens when you guys start to lose opportunities again, like the caribou thing? What happens when you lose, you know, your OTC moose hunting as a resident? Are people going to want to support that state anymore?
Yeah, I mean,
like, they're non-residents. If you're treated so badly, and like in this case right now, if you're treated so badly as non-resident, like you're saying, will you help support that state? Like, what happened to Colorado? If Colorado did things bad before, would have so many people jumped on board to support a mountain lion hunting ban?
Mm-hmm.
Like, luckily, all the people loved Colorado and want to support the future generation. Understand, we all need to stick together, but you could have more people saying, like, yeah, you know, F you state, I don't want to support you because you treat us so badly. So we're not going to support your hunting opportunities. If you lose it, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
I've read a bunch of comments as much, just basically saying you can pound sand. You know what I mean? Utah can just absolutely get bent. Like, we don't care, and I get it. Like, it's, you know, what motivation do we have to fight for non-subsistence hunting in the state of Alaska for caribou when, you know, reality is this, you get a bunch of residents that say, hey, just don't come here. We don't want you. You know, we don't need your dollars. We don't need your money. We don't want you here. Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to care. And I think as you see these price increases, you'll have people dip out, and I think people will lose passion for the sport. I think you're going to see a reduction in recruitment. I think you'll definitely see a reduction in retention. And, you know, people can argue about whether we need more recruitment, more retention. I don't know that there is an argument, in my opinion. I think you absolutely need retention and recruitment if you want hunting to persist in the world. I think you need both. I definitely think this is not going to help. It's not going to help either recruitment or retention. I just generally don't think it's good for hunting. I just don't think it's good for people at all. I mean, I understand that states have operating costs, and if you look at state wildlife agencies, those are funded through license sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I get. I understand that. I get it. It has to cost something. But the fact that the DWR has basically told me, we were pretty comfortable where we were at. 100% increase really, really bugs me, really pisses me off, to be honest.
So let's get back to the DWR thing maybe. So if this thing, obviously if it gets signed, okay, let's say it does, is there then an opportunity for it to go to DWR, go to RAC situations here, or is it just,
I don't,
hey, this is what you have to charge, that's what you're going to pay for your tags?
Yeah, I don't know. So we might be putting the cart before the horse, you know what I mean? Hopefully that is the case. Hopefully they can say you can charge up to and not exceed it, but you know, let's internally figure out what it is that you do want the cost to be, and at that point maybe it does come in at a reasonable rate, right? I don't know if that's the case or not. Like, currently right now, I don't know.
And it's hard too. And the state says, hey, this is what we think the going rate should be for a tag. It's hard for people in that state to be like, yeah, this is, you have to charge it then. Cause like, we're leaving money
on the table,
you know, not in our wallets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess my hope is that is the case. I hope that there's some wiggle room there that they can bring that down. But I mean, 100% is so crazy.
Yeah.
100% increase. I mean, $68 for a non-resident youth hunting license when you've got states like what's Colorado, $1.50,
mm-hmm.
you know, other states, $5, I think Arizona. I mean, $68 for a youth hunting license. And in reality, they're not going to get anything out of it really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to pay $32 per species to apply. And then, you know, and then when your kid turns 17 or 18, then you have a decision to make, like, what do you do? Cause you've probably, even if you've done that at a cheaper cost and you've built them up, you know, 6-7 points at that point, what do you do? Cause you probably can't afford to keep paying for them. And it's not like kids when they turn 17 are financially stable.
Yeah. And then here's one thing too. It's, I think, an extreme case, but I thought it was funny that, so I got out of the limited entry turkey game in Utah a while ago because I did not have
Did you look at
building points for a while? I've killed, yeah, that's what I get to. I killed a lot of birds on limit entry turkey tags. That's the only limit entry tag I've ever drawn in Utah. Mm-hmm. It used to be a really fun hunt. Populations haven't been the greatest anymore, so I kind of got out of limit entry turkey game. I looked at the price of that. Went from $125, which is already, to me, fairly expensive for a turkey tag. Now it's $250 for either the general or the limited entry. $250 for a turkey tag. Like,
yeah.
I know that's a small thing. People are like, okay, it's not that big of it. Like, not many people probably do as a non-resident. But still, some of us who live around there.
Yeah.
$250 for a turkey.
$250. Yeah. I've been trying to consider, like, I've been trying to think, like, what is my limit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what would be the highest amount you would, pay for, like, an elk tag?
You love elk hunting. I love elk hunting, but I mean, $2,000 is a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not a guarantee. It's like, yeah, it's a great $2,000 for an experience, for an adventure, all that stuff.
And I say $2,000, but in reality, I mean, you're going to be $2,000 for the tag, $2,100 for the tag as a non-resident, but then you have all the years of actually trying to apply and draw a tag.
Yeah.
Which is above and beyond. I don't know. To me, it's these prices, as I look down through them, to me, they seem out of touch with like reality. You know, everything's more expensive, right? Everything, true. Gas, groceries, everything is more expensive. The daily cost of living is more expensive. I don't think that people's pay is going up at a rate that inflation is. So this is just above and beyond. And like when you have to cut things, like you're going to have to cut things that are non-essential. And I would say for a lot of people at this point, I mean, my brother brought it up yesterday. He's like, man, I could buy a beef way cheaper, which he's true. He's right.
Yeah, that's true.
It essentially makes hunting in a lot of ways like a non-essential.
Yeah. So what do you think would happen? Let's throw a hypothetical situation out there. Colorado over the counter for their rifle elk seasons, second and third rifle. Let's say they charge $2,000 for an elk tag. What do you think that would do for Colorado OTC for people who, you know, go there every single year? Still an OTC hunt and $2,000.
I mean, it would dip, but I mean, you still have some people do it, but certainly it would dip. You know, I mean, that's $800 to $2,100. I mean, that's $1,200, $1,300. Here's the other thing about this we haven't even talked about yet, but what do you think the potential fallout's going to be for other states because of this? So
people are going to be flocking to other states to apply, and it's going to add other pressure and draw odds and point creep and everything on top of that.
For sure. I mean, if you look specifically at OTC elk in Utah, you go to $1,200 for an OTC spike tag. And maybe you had families that were coming out and doing that for the cost of $613. But when you go to $1,226, it's like, no, I can't justify that. I mean, where are those people going to go? They're going to go to Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go to Colorado. They'll probably try that much harder in a state like Idaho.
Maybe they start going to Oregon. You know, maybe they start doing some Washington stuff too, going crazy. It's like, sure, it's fuel costs, but like the tag's cheap, you know, potentially a little bit cheaper. And
I mean, Montana, what's the Montana cost for a general big game combo, elk deer combo? 1200?
1200 something.
That's kind of that's a scorching deal at this point.
Yeah, you get an elk and deer tag in the big game combo. And
so what do you think?
Ton of hunt districts.
What do you think the number of applicants looks like for general season big game combos in Montana when you've basically priced people out in Utah completely?
Yeah. And the scary thing too, is while we're talking about this, so obviously Utah's deadline's not here yet. Montana's deadline's not there. Colorado's deadline's not there. Is this bill coming out at a really, really horrible time when people might make real-time decisions this year about this?
Maybe.
And yeah. Already this year, like I'm going to cross off Utah. I'm going to go to Colorado and apply. I'm going to go to Montana and apply right now. I'm like, jump the ship already.
Yeah, they might. I mean, if the writing on the wall is if they actually do implement this and the costs are that much, I mean, it does make you wonder how many people will just bail out right now preemptively being like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Cal, I don't know. I mean, it's rough. I'm not a fan. I don't know. We had a number of people wanted us to like comment and do a podcast about it, talk about it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is other than if you're not happy with it, voice your concern. And I'm a resident of Utah and I'm not happy because I don't like the precedent it sets. Mm-hmm. So, yep. I will be submitting my own feedback. I guess I would tell people really the only things that are going to change are when it comes to politics is if you are threatened to not be reelected and money. So there's really only two things that matter in politics, and it's money and reelection. So, yep.
And I would like to say too, while we're talking about this, we did do an article on Go Hunt. So yep. If you want to jump over there and read through all these price changes, read the bill, look at everything. The article is titled Alert Utah to Increase Non-Resident Hunting Fees by 100% Across the Board. Drop your comments there, but also keep in mind that you need to send comments to other people. But if you want to voice your opinion, talk to people on there, you can. Can I have like 5 minutes to read an email we got?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like you said, to this guy, Tyler, I'm not going to say his last name, even like, you know, just to give him a little bit of privacy, but he made a comment on here. He sent an email into Go Hunt saying that, hey, this is the email I drafted up and I'm going to send it to Utah to try to like do something. Maybe it won't do anything. Maybe it will. But that was a very good email. So if you want to jump to the article, you can copy it, you know, edit, adjust as you needed. He said you could do that too. But I think it's a really good message he puts out there. So I'm just going to read it really quickly. It's not that long. Senate Bill 8 prices out hardworking Americans from Utah's hunting heritage. While addressing various aspects of Utah's wildlife resources, it delivers a crushing blow to hardworking blue-collar hunters from outside the state. This bill's drastic doubling of application fees, general tags, and limit entry tags for non-residents effectively prices out those who rely on hunting as an affordable way to provide for their families. This legislation raises serious concerns. He goes off and lists a bunch of bullet points here. Unfair burden on working class. For many blue-collar families, hunting trips are a cherished tradition and a means of supplementing their food supply. The exorbitant fee increase creates an insurmountable financial hurdle, effectively denying them access to Utah's public lands and wildlife. Another bullet point, eroding hunting traditions. By pricing out non-resident hunters, the bill threatens the future of hunting itself. Generations have passed down the skills and ethics of hunting, but these traditions are at risk when access is restricted to the wealthy. Another bullet point here, short-sighted economic impact. Increased costs will likely deter countless hunters from visiting Utah, depriving rural communities and businesses of vital revenue generated through hunting-related tourism. We urge lawmakers to reconsider this discriminatory fee structure. A more equitable approach is needed, one that balances the needs of wildlife management with the importance of preserving affordable hunting opportunities for all Americans, regardless of their zip code. Let's ensure that Utah's hunting heritage remains accessible to everyone, not just the privileged few.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, very well put.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people already commenting that they're going to email that over as well. I'm going to do the same thing. I recommend people to go check it out. And like you said, send comments and send emails in to these people who are elected officials who are obviously voting and pushing these things through to let them know how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate what it means for the tradition of hunting, for the continuation as a whole, you know, for recruitment, retention. I just don't like it. And I get price increases. I get inflation. I get that agencies have to be funded through the, you know, the sale of licenses and stuff, but this just seems like gouging. And it seems like you are catering to a much more narrow audience, wealthy, which I don't like. I just don't like the fact that you've kind of taken that dream and that hope from a lot of people. So I'm not a yeah. fan. Anything else?
No, just not a fan either. I just hope, like I said, the precedence is set. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
That's super scary to me. What other states are going to do and what the future of hunting is going to look like.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, with that, that's kind of your and my take on it. I'm sure there'll be some counterpoints. Love to hear them if you got them. You know, reach out, yeah, let sure. us know what you guys think. I would encourage people that are kind of on board with our train of thought. If it directly impacts you, I would definitely send an email. I would let people know. how you feel about the price hikes, but that's kind of where we're at on it. Yeah, just comment. Let us know what you think, and then send your feedback to the governor and any of your representatives that you guys can find information for, because I think that's the only way that people will actually understand what this might mean to somebody. So,
well put, Trey.
With that, we will we'll wrap up this bonus episode, and I will catch you later, Brady Miller.
Good to see you, Trey. I wish it was under better circumstances, but here we are.
I know. And Utah finally got a little moisture, man. I got 4 inches of snow yesterday.
Dude, I've been tracking you guys' moisture like a hawk.
Yeah.
And it's been great to see.
I know. And then this was kind of...
We're even getting a lot in southern Nevada here too, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a downer to get this on the backside of, you know, some good news, which we needed some moisture. We got a little bit of it. We had two storms in the last week. Which is great, but this is kind of a downer. But anyway, I'll cut you loose and I'll catch you next time.
All right, see you on the flip side.
Yep, bye.